This is Johnny, the chubby Caucasian Christian closeted conservative. Some might say I'm everything wrong with the world, but don't take their word for it. Make up your own mind. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chubby Caucasian Christian Closeted Conservative. I have a lot I want to get to today. My Facebook's kind of been blowing up. I definitely want to talk about the overturning of Roe v. Wade. But before we get to all of that, I have a new segment that I want to introduce, and that is Newsome News.
Do you know, Stephanie, that middle-class families in Texas pay more taxes than middle-class Californians? Look that up. That's a fact.
See, I have to start a segment like this because I believe within at least the next 10 years, Gavin Newsom is going to make a run for the presidency. I believe in 2024, I wouldn't bet any money on it, but in 2024, Joe Biden is not going to run for president. The Democratic bench is very, very thin. We have cackling Kamala and we have Pete Buttigieg, maybe Elizabeth Warren and maybe AOC. I don't know if Joe Biden is going to be primaried or just decide not to run, but the Democrats need something else. And Gavin Newsom is it. You're going to see it start to slowly play out over the next year where they just build up Gavin Newsom to be the second coming, basically. So in this new segment, Newsom News, I just want to harp on lies that Newsom has told and what he has done with the great state of California since he has been governor. So actually in my stinger, I played the segment that I want to address. This was done in an interview on August 10th, 2021. This was right around the time he was being recalled. We all know the recall didn't go through and he's still governor, but he went on this rant in this interview. But I want to play the clip that I played in my stinger one more time, just so you can hear what he says.
That middle-class families in Texas pay more taxes than middle-class Californians. Look that up. That's a fact.
So I did look this up. You can do a Google search very quickly, find out Texas doesn't even have any income tax. So there at the very beginning is just massive. I'm looking at an article from H&R Block. The states with the highest taxes are California, Hawaii, Oregon, Minnesota, Iowa, New Jersey, New York, and Vermont, where residents pay 8% of higher on state income tax. Meanwhile, residents of Alaska, Florida, New Hampshire, Nevada, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming do not pay any state individual income tax. Further on down, it actually quotes in 2021 that the California state income tax was 13.3%. So I know what you're saying, John, that's not enough. Just because Texas has no income tax, they could be taxed all over the place. That's fine. We can look at that too. I have a CNBC article. These states have the highest and lowest tax burdens, but they actually define what a tax burden is. It's the property taxes, individual taxes, sales taxes, excess taxes, amongst a share of total personal income in the state. They consider this a ratio that helps cut through the confusion. It's unlike tax rates, which are very widely based on an individual circumstance. Tax burden measures the proportion of total personal income that residents pay towards state and local tax. So the CNBC article, like I said, it references, and it's almost a shot for shot of this Wallet Hub article, but CNBC has a little bit more well known. So on here, they have California listed as number 9. What the Wallet Hub article actually does, and this is tax burden by state. The Wallet Hub article is from March 29th, 2022. There's an interactive map that you can actually click on, and it'll show you which state has the highest taxes and stuff like that. The overall ranking, New York is number 1, California is number 9, like we already talked about, and Texas ranks in as number 32, with a total tax burden of 8.22%, compared to California by 9.72%. So almost a full 1.5%. This Wallet Hub article, this is one thing that is left out of the CNBC article. It also goes down to different states based off of different categories. They have the highest property tax, the highest income tax, the highest sales tax, the lowest sales tax. And then of course they do blue and red states. On average, red states have a lower total tax burden than blue states. Blue states, their average is number 19, while a red state state, you have an average of being 31. So just remember, I've quoted two different articles here, a CNBC article and a Wallet Hub article. The CNBC article references the Wallet Hub article. They just pick and choose what they want to put in. Now, this is just a foundation of something I want to build on, but we have disproved something that Gavin Newsom stated. Either Gavin Newsom is uninformed and unaware of what's actually happening in his state, or he's lying. He knows that Californians are taxed more than Texans, and instead of admitting that, for some reason, he says the opposite. You better believe if Gavin Newsom, if his name gets on the ballot, this video will be brought up. This interview will be brought up. So this has been your Newsom News.
Do you know, Stephanie, that middle-class families in Texas pay more taxes than middle-class Californians? Look that up. That's a fact.
Now, before I jump into my main topic today, I want to discuss something that happened on my social media. My Facebook, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, there was a significant amount of activity on it, and it wasn't anything that I posted recently. People actually started posting on several articles that I posted back in February 17th of this year. Why? I have no idea. These articles were posted on the anniversary of Rush Limbaugh's death. And for some reason, 6 months later, several liberal Larrys and Lindas found these posts and decided to make comments on it. Now, let me start off by saying I cannot defend everything every Republican has ever said ever. Okay? I don't have to. I don't feel the need to do that. I only have to defend what I say. And believe me, I will be willing to admit when my opinion changed or when I am wrong. Rush Limbaugh had a very long show where he spoke for several hours every day of the week. So I am sure there are things that he said that were inaccurate and most likely not nice. I do know that towards the end of his life, Rush Limbaugh did accept the Lord. And usually that does change a person. It usually does soften their heart. But I posted 4 articles in that day. 2 of them were basically history articles about his life, his accomplishments. Whether you like him or not, there are milestones that he hit that no one else has hit or will ever hit. You just have to admit that. There are records that he broke. He was on the air for a long time. And that's what the first 2 articles were about. The next 2 articles were about just the reaction on social media about his death. There are many, many hateful things that are in these 2 articles. And these 2 articles, they are from more conservative sources, but they're not giving really an opinion. They are snapshots from social media, videos of things that people have posted. They are the worst of the worst, and I understand that it is nitpicking the worst of the worst. But I had several liberal Larrys and Lindas post on these articles attempting to defend this. Now, the most innocent of these posts are people saying rest in piss, RIP Rush, rest in piss. And remember, this is coming from a radical progressive Democratic Party during our lifetime that wants to make words violence, where your words actually physically cause people harm. Therefore, you have to be held accountable for it. This is the party that claims they have a monopoly on compassion, who claims to take the morally and ethically high road. So not only to post these things, but then to have individuals come on my social media and attempt to defend it is a total logical fallacy. It does not make any sense. One of the biggest points that I was trying to make when I posted these articles was, will I be allowed the same freedoms? Rest in piss was allowed to trend on social media for several days after his death. But for a Democrat to not only say these things, but then 1.5 years later attempt to defend them, it's disgusting. So there was a woman on my Facebook, and her and I had some back and forth. Complete radical. If you look at her Facebook, continuously posting about politics and commentators from the conservative party. One thing that she replied was after I asked her to defend rest in piss, she said, name a lowlife liberal who lies, doesn't give a about humanity and the earth and spews racist, homophobic hate. And jokingly, I replied, I have to name just one. Maybe these liberals are right. I guess Jeffrey Toobin should be the role model for our children. Former Klansman Robert Byrd, you know, Joe Biden's friend and mentor. I'm sure he never said anything racist or homophobic while he was wearing his white sheet. Jeffrey Toobin was just expressing his sexuality during a work meeting. Both of the Cuomo brothers, you know, perfectly innocent. Neither one of them have jobs anymore, but, you know, at least they're not Rush Limbaugh. So please, spare me the theatrics. You are a radical progressive Democrat that claims to have compassion and love and goodwill towards all unless they don't agree with you. Then you absolutely hate them and rejoice in their pain, suffering, and death. When Jeffrey Toobin dies, am I allowed to say I'm so happy that that sex offender is gone? Toobin should be a registered sex offender. But, you know, heaven forbid anybody say anything negative about Robert Byrd. People raced to defend Robert Byrd. Oh, well, you know, he wasn't that high up on the food chain. He only really recruited people. You know, he's not a Klansman anymore. He had a change of heart. And the worst part about it, all these people who posted on my social media, all I did was ask them to defend the comments in the article. Defend them. The one woman, I asked her, would she hold me accountable if I was rude and nasty and hateful, dancing on someone's grave before the body is even cold, only because they have a different political opinion than me? Would she help me correct the course? So to the individuals who posted on my Facebook, the radical, progressive, crazy, hateful libs, please just keep commenting. Just give me more material to work with. I would love it if you went over to my Anchor account and left a voice message. That way I can actually play it for all of my listeners. Make a video on YouTube and send me the link so that we can hear how you actually feel, the tone of your voice. I understand tone gets lost in text sometimes, but it's difficult to hear words like scum of the earth and rest in piss in a positive, uplifting tone. And this is going to lead right into my next topic. Let's chew the fat a little bit about abortion and the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I've never fully comprehended why Democrats so firmly push for abortion. This is, again, a party who claims to speak for those that are unheard, who claims to work for the least of us, the people who can't help themselves, the most vulnerable of us. Now, before you get on me for having a penis and telling me that my opinion doesn't matter, I would just like to play you a clip from May 18th, 2022. It's a House hearing on access to abortion services.
So Dr. Robinson, I noticed in your written testimony, you said that you use she, her pronouns. You're a medical doctor. What's a woman?
It's important for you to understand why I said I use she, her pronouns.
Well, I was explaining why I'm asking the question, but I'd just like to get an answer to the question. What's a woman?
I think it's important that we educate people like you about why we're doing the things that we do. And so the reason that I use she and her pronouns is because I understand that there are people who become pregnant that may not identify that way. And I think it is discriminatory to speak to people or to call them in such a way as they desire not to be called.
Thanks for that.
So it's important that we respect each individual person.
Are you going to answer my question? Can you answer the question, what's a woman?
I'm a woman. And I will ask you, which pronouns do you use?
Can you
if you tell me that you use she and her pronouns, I'm going to answer you. I'm going to call you Mr. Bishop. I'm going to respect you for how you want me to address you.
I'm just asking, so you give me an example of a woman. You say that you are a woman. Can you tell me, otherwise, can you tell me what a woman is?
Yes, I'm telling you, I'm a woman.
Is that as comprehensive a definition as you can give me?
That's as comprehensive as a definition as I will give you today. I think that it's important that we focus on what we're here for, and it's to talk about access to abortion.
I see. So you're not interested in answering a question I ask unless it's part of a message you want to deliver. Is that right?
I'm sorry.
You're
because
not.
I was talking and you were talking
yes,
at
ma'am.
The same time.
Yes, ma'am. I'm right. It's my time.
Okay.
It's my time to ask you questions. That's the purpose of it. I ask you to uncover things by asking you questions and asking you to respond. So you're not willing to answer a question unless it's part of a message you wish to deliver. Is that correct?
Sir, what I was trying to explain to you is that I had a difficult time hearing you since we were talking at the same time.
All right, let me just see if I can go to Ms.
This argument that liberals used to have that since you're a man, your opinion doesn't matter, has been thrown out the window. Just like there is no difference between men and women sports today. So my opinion does matter as of now. When we talk about women's rights and we go to a women's rights march, what are we actually marching for? The Democratic Party and the liberals have blurred the lines between a man and a woman. Now, I know the difference between a man and a woman. There is scientific evidence between the man and a woman, not only the genitalia that you have, but also the chromosomes that your body has. I did a whole episode on this about gender dysphoria that was removed from YouTube. But we're talking about 0.008 of individuals who you actually scientifically cannot place a gender with. Either the chromosomes do not match the genitalia or the genitalia you are unable to identify. These people are called asexual. And before I get some radical emailing me, posting on my social media about how I don't know the difference between sex and gender, I used to know the difference between sex and gender. Sex and gender got blurred 2 or 3 years ago. Dr. Rachel Levine was named the first female 4-star admiral in any of the nation's 8 uniformed services. This is a CBS article. Rachel Levine, doctor, and yes, I did use air quotes, Rachel Levine is referred to as a female and a woman. So don't get on me about the difference between sex and gender. This is the radical progressive Democrat Party and the LGBTQAIP plus community that can't define the difference between sex and gender to me. If you can't define what a woman is, then you cannot define the difference between sex and gender. The lines have become blurred now. So please do not preach to me that my opinion does not matter. This is more from the May 18th House hearing on access to abortion.
Arambide, is that a pretty close approximation of the pronunciation?
Arambide.
Arambide. Okay. What do you say a woman is?
I believe that everyone can identify for themselves.
Okay. Do you believe then that men can become pregnant and have abortions?
Yes.
Thank you. I identify as a man today, so therefore I can get pregnant and have an abortion. So therefore, to all the radical feminists, the radical progressive party, the LGBTQAIP community, my opinion does now matter. 10, 15 years ago, I really didn't have an argument for when people said, if you have a penis, your opinion on an abortion doesn't matter. I used to only say, if it was my child, I would hope that the woman would hear me out at the very least. But now, we don't have to have that argument anymore. Men can get pregnant and have abortions. Okay, now let's get into a few facts here. According to the 2019-2020 Planned Parenthood annual report, they conducted 345,871 abortions. Now, let's break this down a little bit. I'm looking at a USA Today article. It was published at 10:30 a.m. May 24, 2019. So right around the same time frame Planned Parenthood released these numbers. This USA Today article, there's a graph in it that breaks down the reason for each abortion. But let me read the title of this graph. It says, "Women's abortions decisions rarely stem from rape or incest." And when you look at this graph, 0.5%, so half a percent of abortions is because the pregnancy resulted of incest. 1% is a victim of rape. 38% said they have completed my childbearing. 48% don't want to be a single mother or having relationship problems. 73% can't afford a baby now. And 74% said having a baby would dramatically change their lives. So to just weed out a lot of the stupid left arguments, let's just say that the percent and a half who are rape victims and incest, let's let's just say we allow all those people to get abortions. Now, what I would like to see is the 1% of victims of rape. I would like to see that never, ever, ever happen. There's another stat that says 1 in 4 women report sexual assault. That number needs to increase. That is what the government should be funding. That is why we need more police on the street. And that is what Planned Parenthood should be doing. Helping these women, encouraging these women to speak out against their sexual assault, to get the rape kit and get the test so that they can prove that they have been raped. And we need to take these men who raped these women to jail, lock them away forever, or bury them under the courthouse. So let's just all find common ground that 1.5% that result from rape and incest, we just allow these women to get abortions, no questions asked. This chart does not say anything about if a woman's life is in danger having an abortion. This chart does not say anything about miscarriages or non-viable fetuses. I would like to see a poll done on children conceived and born because of rape, and let's interview them and question them to see if they would have been okay with an abortion. That I mean, that would be a great study. Let's interview them and see if they would have been okay if their mother had gotten an abortion, and let's see how many of them would come back and say, you know what, it's my mother's choice. I would really, really be interested to see that poll. But all of the other abortion that happens, I do not see bringing joy to my Father in heaven. We're talking about a God that when he created man looked at it and said, it is good. We're looking at a Lord that sent his only begotten son so that whosoever will believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Sent his son to die on the cross for us. Not a quick death, a long painful death. And when his son was on the cross, the last words were, Father, please forgive them for they know not what they do. I believe life is very important to God, and I do not see him rejoicing in abortions. In fact, I see him weeping because of this loss of life. Now, I have started asking myself and friends something that I think is a very reasonable question. What if Democrats and the radical progressive had unchecked power? When it comes to abortion, I can tell you what they would have. They have told us. I want to play two clips for you real quick. One is from May 9th. It's on MSNBC. A guest makes a comment about the leak. She says that she thinks it's a conservative, and if it was, she would make sweet love to them and then go and gladly, joyfully abort the baby. The second is Governor Ralph Northam. This is the same guy who didn't want to open back up churches during COVID, calling them super spreaders, who had to be called to the mat saying, you need to open churches.
I guess so. I mean, here's the thing. Here's my feeling about the leaker. I would like to find out who the leaker is so I could make sweet love to that person, because that person is a hero to me. Okay? And if the leaker, yeah. A lot of people are saying it could be a conservative. If the leaker is a Republican, and if I get pregnant during our lovemaking, I will joyfully abort our fetus and let them know. I don't know if that answered your question.
And then this is Ralph Northam.
And governors, you know, the issue of abortion rights emerges every year in the General Assembly session, this year no exception. There was a very contentious committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions, as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure, and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you, first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, you know, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
And do you think multiple physicians should have to weigh in, as is currently required? She's trying to lift that requirement.
Well, I think it's always good to get a second opinion and for at least two providers to be involved in that decision, because these decisions shouldn't be taken lightly. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, I would certainly support more than one provider.
All right. Let's
The guy laughing on MSNBC infuriates me. The Democratic Party has come a very long way from when Bill Clinton said safe, legal, and rare. Now, I've always been told that this Governor Ralph Northam quote was taken out of context. I've played the entire clip for you. After that, and you can hear part of it, she goes back to the phones to have people call in and ask questions. The CNN article is called Virginia Governor Faces Backlash Over Comments Supporting Late-Term Abortions Bill. This is from January 31st, 2019. Of course, we have to get Donald Trump involved. So later Wednesday, President Donald Trump weighed in on Northam's comments in an interview with the Daily Caller when he asked for a comment by a reporter, though he said he had not heard the remarks himself. I'm surprised that he did that. I've met him a number of times, Trump said, of the governor's comments. This is going to lift up the whole pro-life movement like maybe it's never been seen before. The pro-life movement is very much a 50-50. It's a very 50-50 issue. Actually, it's gained a point or two over the years. I think this will very much lift up the issue because people have never thought of this in those terms before. Further down, Northam's office released a statement and said, no woman seeks a third trimester abortion except in the case of tragic or difficult circumstances, such as a non-viable pregnancy or the event of a severe fetal abnormalities. And the governor's comments were limited to the actions physicians would take in the event that a woman in those circumstances went into labor. In a tweet posted later Wednesday, Northam wrote, I've devoted my life to caring for children in any institution, and any insinuation otherwise is shameful and disgusting. If you watch any of these men on the street interviews where they're just asking regular people what they think about abortions, it's very, very few people who agree with late-term partial birth abortions. So when Roe v. Wade was overturned, how did the radical progressives react? These peace-loving individuals, well, of course they vandalized anti-abortion offices. A fire at a Wisconsin anti-abortion office is being investigated as arson. This is May 9th, 2022. Vandals struck an anti-abortion group's office in Wisconsin, apparently setting a fire after a Molotov cocktail thrown into the building failed to ignite. This is an MSN article, so I don't know why they have to use the words apparently and being investigated as arson. If you found a Molotov cocktail inside the building and then the building was later set on fire, I think we can just assume that this was arson. Further down this article, flames were seen coming from the Wisconsin Family Actions Office shortly after 6 a.m. Sunday, and the fire was being investigated as arson. It wasn't immediately clear who vandalized the building, but the message, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either, was spray painted on the exterior. The Madison Police Chief said it appears a specific nonprofit that supports anti-abortion measures was targeted. The president of this nonprofit anti-abortion group, Julia Appalling, said she considered the fire a direct threat against us. She said people could have been hurt if they were working in the office at the time. If you look at the Wisconsin Family Actions Office, if you look at their mission statement, they are a Christian organization. If you look up the definition of a hate crime, it is a crime committed against an individual because of prejudice against race, sexual orientation, their gender, and religious affiliation. I call on Wisconsin to charge this arsonist with a hate crime. You can't have it one way. You can't just have a hate crime based off of sexual orientation or race. The law says a hate crime, this is the federal law, says the hate crime can be based off of religion. Then we all know about the pro-abortion terrorist firebombs, Buffalo pro-life pregnancy. This is a National Review article from June 7, 2022. Pro-abortion terrorist firebombed a pro-life Christian pregnancy center in Buffalo, New York. I call on New York to also investigate and charge these individuals with a hate crime. Pro-abortion group Jen's Revenge, which has developed a reputation for resorting to violence, claim responsibility for the attack, which left glass shattered and much of the interior of the Compassus Care office burned and destroyed, CBN News reported. Please take Jane Revenge to court and charge them with a hate crime. Whoever is the president of that organization needs to be held accountable and needs to help with the investigation to find out who has done this. Jane's Revenge also admitted that it threw red paint on the front doors of a crisis pregnancy center in Washington, D.C. The Department of Homeland Security is reportedly preparing for more unrest after the release of the official opinion. An unclassified document, May 31st memo by the DHS Intelligence Bureau projected that threats to the Supreme Court justices, member of Congress, and other public officials, clergy, and healthcare providers are likely to persist. This may shock you, especially if you're a Democrat filled with hate who wishes death on individuals such as Rush Limbaugh and Republican congressmen. I want all our public officials to be kept safe. I would take a bullet for the current puppet that we have in office right now, because I believe that the assassination of a U.S. president does not help my family in any way. In fact, I believe it would hurt it. At the very end of this article, in Asheville, North Carolina, a business that provides counseling for pregnant women was vandalized overnight Monday. Police are now searching for the groups responsible. And I would encourage you to go, especially if you are an infuriated Democrat, please go to these websites and read these people's mission statements. The interview from this president of the Wisconsin Association said that one of the things they had been working on for the past year was getting women formula and breast milk. And you are going to firebomb that. I am sorry that these children are alive, but now can we help these organizations feed these children? Now let's get into Ginsburg a little bit. All of this has been posted on all of my social media. This is a Time magazine article from August 2nd, 2018. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is quoted saying, "It is essential to women's equality with men that she be the decision maker, that her choice be controlling. If you impose restraints that impede her choice, you are disadvantaging her because of her sex." Now, I would love to hear the LGBTQAIP community come out and inform me if Ginsburg, if this statement is transphobic or not. It was only 4 years ago. Further down this article, it says, "So it might come as a surprise that though she made history by endorsing abortion rights during her confirmation hearing, Ginsburg had well-known reservations about Roe. Ginsburg said that she believed it would have been easier for the public to understand why the Constitution protected abortion rights if the matter had been framed as one of equal protection rather than privacy." Ginsburg was also quoted saying, "The main emphasis was on her equality as a woman vis-a-vis men, who was equally responsible for the conception, and on her personal choice, which the government said she could not have unless she gave up her career in the service." Further down, "It was always recognition that one thing that conspiracy distinguished women from men is that only women can become pregnant." So, about that. This is another article from the University of Chicago Law School. She gave a short presentation there on May 15, 2013 is when this article was written. "Those more acquainted with Ginsburg and her thoughtfulness, nuanced approach to difficult legal questions were not surprised. However, to hear her say just the opposite, that Roe was a faulty decision for Ginsburg, the landmark 1973 Supreme Court decision that affirmed a woman's rights to an abortion, was too far-reaching and too sweeping." Ginsburg and Professor Gregory Stone, a longtime scholar of the reproductive rights and constitutional law, spoke for 90 minutes. Ginsburg was quoted saying, "My criticism of Roe is that it seemed to have stopped the momentum on the side of change." She would have preferred that abortion rights be secured more gradually in a process that included state legislation and the courts, she added. Ginsburg also was troubled that the focus on Roe was on a right to privacy rather than women's rights. Ginsburg said, "Roe really isn't about women's choice. It's about the doctor's freedom to practice. So then again, it wasn't a woman-centered bill. It was a physician-centered bill." I'm going to paraphrase Ruth, but she was also quoted saying something along the lines of, "Again, it was another bill of a big, tall doctor helping a small woman." Do you know who was on the Supreme Court in 1973 when Roe v. Wade was initially decided? Now remember, this is the party that is all about cohesion and helping out minorities, appointing people as vice president, and Supreme Court justices based on what's between their legs and the color of their skin. We are talking about the party that is supposed to be for civil rights, for inclusion. The 9 Supreme Court justices that first voted on Roe v. Wade were 9 white male Supreme Court justices. We get a few Title IX hires, the law gets over change, and then we hate on Clarence Thomas? Is that racist? I will never, ever figure out the Democratic Party to play the race, gender, sexual orientation card over and over and over and over again until it doesn't line up with their agenda, and then we hate you. You know what infuriates me the most? Is my wife and many other women out there have had miscarriages, who've wanted to have children, who have experienced that pain of losing a child. My wife doesn't say she lost a fetus. The other women that I know don't say that they lost a clump of cells. They said that they lost their child. So please, don't try to school and educate me and preach to me about what is a life and what is not. But let's just run through a few hypocrisies that the Democratic Party has shown since this whole abortion conversation began in September of 2021 with the new Texas bill and everything. Bette Midler, I'm looking at a Insider's article from September 2021. Actress Bette Midler called on women to protest Texas new abortion law by refusing to have sex. I suggest that all women refuse to have sex with men until they are granted the right to choose by Congress. They argued that allowing the law to pass would prohibit care for at least 85% of Texas abortion patients and caused forced shutdowns. Now, I have always told by radical progressives and the Democratic Party that abortions are safe, legal, and rare. So, if suddenly we stop conducting abortions and Planned Parenthood is really supposed to be for women's health, why do they have to shut down? The Texas law prohibits abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected, which usually happens around 6 weeks. Critics have argued against the law, with Planned Parenthood noting that most women don't know they're pregnant at 6 weeks, and 85 to 90% of Texans who obtain abortions are at least 6 weeks into their pregnancy. Now, let me ask you this. According to that USA Today article, 1.5% of abortions happened because of rape and incest. These are pregnancies that were forced upon these women. My question would be, why aren't these women taking pregnancy tests? I asked my wife and mother, if you were raped, how frequently would you take a pregnancy test to make sure that you were not with child? Personally, I think I would be taking one every day. And then, of course, the woke Uber and Lyft have offered to pay the legal fees of drivers sued under the new law. People have used online bots and Shrek porn to span a tip line set up by Texas Right to Life, where users can submit anonymous tips. That's your high road Democratic Party. All this ruling does is give power back to the states. What other government ever in history has returned power back to their constituents? The federal government has given up power and released it back. Abortion won't be illegal in all states. And you're going to have people like Uber and Lyft who will pay for you to go get your abortion. There will be abortion vacations. I am against abortion. There are complications when it comes to the mother's life and rape. We can have those conversations. But in general, it is very difficult for me to rationalize why an abortion would happen. So I would encourage everyone to practice abstinence before marriage. It would significantly lower the spread of STDs and the amount of unwanted pregnancies. But there has to be consequences for decisions. I am sorry, but if you decide to open up your legs because you are drunk, or because you think you are in love, or because he's attractive, then unfortunately, you have made a decision that has consequences, and I would beg you not to punish someone else for your mistake. I mean, talk about following the science. I had to wear a mask and have limited contact with family and friends for almost 2 years to stop the spread of COVID. Can you imagine what would happen if everyone had protected sex with one or two partners for an entire 2 years? How many lives would we save? But like this world does, everything that God gives us, we have taken it, smashed it, broken it, and then told our society that this is the best thing that will ever happen to you. Physical intimacy with another person. I will tell you what, people, right here, right now, there is no better intimacy between a husband and a wife. Texas and Mississippi are going to have have limited life-valuing abortion laws, while New York and California will have a six-month return policy. You can take this kid home, try it out for 6 months, and then let us know. Just make sure you have your receipt. So women, you have a lot of options. Don't have sex outside of a marriage, contraception, adoption. I am just not okay with the final option, and that is abortion. Now, let me leave you with this final thought. I hope that we can all find common ground that at some point before a woman gives birth, that this child inside of her has the right to live. But at some point, when the child is inside a woman, we have to recognize that a woman does not have 20 fingers, does not have 20 toes, does not have 4 arms or 4 legs, and does not have 2 hearts or 2 brains. If you watch these men on the street and read some of the polls, most individuals agree with early abortions. The sooner, the better. We have come a long way from safe, legal, and rare. Remember, all the articles that I referenced today and videos and all the audio I played for you will all be on all my social media. I'm everywhere. You can't go to any social media platform without following me. I'm on Tumblr, Facebook, Twitter, True Social, Blogger, Minds. You can find my show wherever you listen to your podcast, YouTube, Rumble, BitChute. You can even go to my Anchor account and leave me a message there. I'd be more than happy to play it on my show and react to it. Just search the Chubby Caucasian Christian Closet Conservative in Google or any search engine or on any of these websites and look for my eagle. I had a family member paint that eagle and I loved it so much that she gave me the original. So please go to Redbubble, search Robin N. Brown. That's Robin the bird and the letter Brown the color. There will also be a link to her site in my description. So please, just go over there, check some of this stuff out. She's very religious, very patriotic. Her artwork is just beautiful. And we will see you later.